And I wanted us to think together for a few moments, brothers and sisters, about the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus as we see it in the Gospels. And there's a story that I came across not so long ago that turns out to be one of my favorite new stories. It's the story of a captain of a ship who looked into the dark night and saw a light way off in the distance. Immediately, this captain told his signalman to send out a message. Alter your degrees, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. He promptly received a reply, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. The captain became furious at this. He said, send another message. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a captain. Soon another reply was received. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. The captain sent a final message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. The reply came back instantly. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. Now, friends, thus speaks the voice of authority. When it comes to Jesus, we can't miss his authority, can we? Authority in his teaching, authority over disease, authority to forgive sins, authority over evil spirits, authority over death. So much so that we see in the Gospels, once Jesus enters Jerusalem in order to complete his work of salvation as our Savior, and the chief priests and the scribes conspire in order to arrest him, it's his authority that they go after. They quiz him by saying, by whose authority are you doing these things? It's the authority of Jesus that they go after. And I want us to reflect for a few moments on the authority of Jesus as we see it in Mark's gospel, authority over chaos. And it's a story that I'm sure many of us know well. It's the story of Jesus calming a storm. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And here we see the authority of Jesus over chaos. Chaos in nature. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Notice that phrase, my friends. Jesus woke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This is Jesus' authority over chaos. Order is restored. And it's important for us to understand initially that the Jews were not seafaring people. For them, the sea came to symbolize the dark powers of evil that threatened to destroy God's creation, God's people, and God's purposes. The sea was regarded as the place of chaos. It's where the monsters come from. We see that in prophetic books like the book of Daniel. The sea is where the monsters come from. And as Mark tells us the story of Jesus calming the storm, what he wants us to do is to think back over the scriptures for a moment. For example, the book of Jonah, right? We know the story of Jonah. Instead of doing what God called him to do, he sailed off in the opposite direction. And we're told that a great storm arose, which only calmed down when the sailors, at Jonah's prompting, threw him overboard. And then we read the words in the book of Jonah, "The sea ceased from its raging." Think back even further, friends, to the book of Exodus, where we're told that the Israelites came out of Egypt and God miraculously made a way for them by parting the sea, and the waters were divided. Think back even further in the scriptures to the story of creation, where God created order and form and content from the dark primal deep. As we're told, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Then finally, there's the Psalms, the Bible's prayer book. For example, Psalm 89, verse 9, which reads, "You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." Psalm 107, verses 23 to 30, contain these words, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business in the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men." And so when Mark is telling us the story of Jesus calming the storm, he wants us to understand in concrete terms that in Jesus Christ, God's power is being unleashed. Unleashed over the chaos. God's kingdom is indeed at hand. And this is the very same power that created the world in the first place, bringing order out of chaos and light out of darkness. as the Apostle John tells us, through him all things were made. No Jonah is he. Jesus is doing exactly what God wants. And there were two things, my friends, that Jesus rebuked in the boat that day. He rebuked the storm, and he rebuked the disciples' lack of faith. Two things. And this story in Mark's gospel of Jesus calming the storm begs the question, is my faith waterproof? Is my faith waterproof? In his famous painting of today's gospel scene, Rembrandt in 1633 painted this scene before us, Jesus and the disciples in a boat in a storm. But in Rembrandt's painting, if you look at it, there's Jesus, and then there's 13 disciples in the boat. Some initially thought that Rembrandt had miscounted by painting 13 disciples rather than 12. But on clearer inspection, it was very clear what Rembrandt had done. Along with Jesus and the 12 disciples, Rembrandt had painted himself into the picture. He is the 13th disciple. And in the painting, he is looking out towards the viewer of the painting. And in doing this, Rembrandt is saying, in effect, you too are in this boat. How will you react when the storms arise? And fellow disciples of Jesus, we know, don't we, that a very early image of the Christian church is that of a ship sailing across this world's tempestuous seas. We are all in this boat together with Jesus. And in Mark 4:37, we read the words, "And a great windstorm arose." It's not hard to see, is it, how today's gospel story acts as a parable of life, a parable for our lives. There we are, going along for a while. It's smooth sailing. All's right with us. Things are okay. All right with the world. Smooth sailing for a while, and then, boom. A great windstorm arose. And all of a sudden, quite unexpectedly, we find ourselves in the middle of a scary storm. So bad at times, we perhaps even fear for our lives and our well-being. When that happens, when the storms of life hit us suddenly without warning, as disciples of Jesus, what would Mark, in telling us this story, have us do? Well, there are two reactions to a storm. The first reaction we find in Jesus. He's asleep, right? Sleeping in the storm. Reminds me of the words of another psalm, which as Anglicans we love to recite at Compline, night prayer. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Jesus knows the truth of that. So one reaction to life's storms is to sleep. Another one is the reaction that we find in the disciples, which is blind panic. Mark chapter 4, verse 38, we read, "They woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" What a question. Now, I confess that I too often am like a frightened man in a boat. Anxiety can keep us awake, but faith is the pillow on which we may rest our heads. Here's another psalm for us, Psalm 44, verse 23. "Rouse thyself, O God, awake. Why are you sleeping, O Lord? Do not reject us forever." And then we read in Mark 4, verse 39, "Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace be still,' and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." In some translations, Jesus literally says to the storm, "Quiet, settle down." And having been asked a question himself by the disciples, Jesus now has a question of his own. Mark chapter 4, verse 40, Jesus says to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now there's a question. Or in other words, why can't you trust me? Why can't you trust me? No faith here doesn't mean no faith at all. It means insufficient faith to the task. In other words, not enough faith. To which the disciples can only respond by saying to one another, "Who is this? Who is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him." And there the story ends. Filled as it is with wonderful eyewitness details, no doubt conveyed to Mark by the Apostle Peter himself. Peter stands behind Mark's gospel. And so, my brothers and sisters, who then is this in the boat with us as we sail upon this world's tempestuous seas? Is it not the very one who promises in the Scriptures, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and I will bring you to your desired haven"? When I was pastoring a church in Abbotsford, I remember having a conversation with a longtime member of the church who had recently been diagnosed with cancer, and at that time, the prognosis was really not very good at all. And I remember talking with her in hospital and praying with her. And she described to me how in her times of prayer, she would literally see herself lying down next to Jesus in the boat as she trying to navigate the stormy seas of a recent cancer diagnosis. Robert Louis Stevenson loved to recount the story of a ship that was being tossed around in a storm. The sea was rough, the rocky coast perilous, danger was real, there was dread, expectancy amongst the crew. And one frantic sailor who was laboring below the waterline couldn't stand it any longer and could contain himself no longer. He rushed up to the control room closed the door behind himself, and stood literally frozen in fright as he watched the captain wrestle with the controls of this huge ship. Skill of mind, strength of hand enabled the captain to guide the vessel through the life-threatening rocks into open water. The captain turned slightly, looked at the frightened sailor, and smiled. The young sailor returned below deck and assured the rest of the crew that all danger was over. When they inquired how he knew this, the young sailor simply said, "I have seen the face of the captain, and he smiled at me." My friend, if you are in a storm right now, let me encourage you to take a look at the face of the captain. In recalling this encounter today, Mark wants us to know that the storms of life have nothing whatsoever to do with drowning. At the beginning of this passage, Jesus tells his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." He says nothing about drowning. It's nothing to do with that. But it has everything to do with the authority of Jesus over chaos and us placing our faith in him, and that he will lead us through the storm to the other side, our desired haven. Because nothing is able to separate us from his love. Let us pray for a moment. The Lord says, "The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still." Whether the wrath of the storm, tossed sea, demons or men, whatever it may be, no waters can swallow the ship. Where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies? They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still. Amen.